31. Paris, France, April 15, 1782, 11 a.m. Benjamin Franklin knows the British are done and is about to exact revenge. 4 months after King George learns of Cornwallis's defeat at Yorktown, Dr. Franklin receives British diplomat Richard Oswald in his Passy home. It is Monday morning, and Oswald has spent the last week traveling from London, having just arrived yesterday afternoon. Like the doctor, the Scottish-born Oswald, who made part of his fortune as a slave trader, is an elderly man. He is blind in one eye. Both men are in their eighth decade and have lived their many years in both England and America. Oswald informs Franklin that the British government has given him no special instructions, but is open to informal negotiations to end the war. But while the British are finally willing to discuss peace, Franklin is far more interested in payback. Since the war began, the British have burned homes and businesses and treated captives without the dignity usually afforded prisoners of war. They have also looted and plundered at will. In short, they have treated Americans with nothing but contempt. The issue to Franklin is not just peace, but compensation for these wrongs. Franklin himself has suffered much at the hands of the British. There is no amount of money to recompense the public humiliation he experienced in London or the loss of his once close relationship with his son William. So, realizing that Great Britain's empire is tottering, Franklin presents an obstacle to Oswald's proposed negotiation with the utterance of one simple word: Canada. The British path to peace began on February 27th when a resolution was passed in the House of Commons calling for King George to end the war. Despite his earlier threats to abdicate out of shame for losing the colonies, the king defers. On March 4th, the members get their response. George is in agreement. That same day, Parliament passes a second resolution confirming that Great Britain's offensive war in America is over. The resolution reads, "This House will consider as enemies to His Majesty all those who shall endeavor to frustrate His Majesty's paternal care for the ease and happiness of His people by advising or by any means attempting the further prosecution of offensive war on the continent of North America for the purpose of reducing the colonies to obedience by force." For good measure, the Parliament takes even more aggressive action on that day, recalling General Henry Clinton from New York. In Clinton's place is a new commander-in-chief, Sir Guy Carleton. After returning to England, both Lord Cornwallis and General Benedict Arnold allied themselves against Clinton, blaming the loss at Yorktown on his strategic ineptitude. Surprisingly, Arnold has become a celebrity in London. No less than King George has been seen holding long conversations with the traitor in the royal gardens. The king finds an ally in Arnold, both of them believing the fight should not be abandoned. But in the streets of London, the public response to Parliament's ending the war is so enthusiastic that George is fearful rioting might break out if he dissents. Yet, while the British no longer wish to fight, they remain too proud to admit defeat. This makes Benjamin Franklin wary. Writing to George Washington on April 2nd, the doctor urges vigilance. "The English seem not to know either how to continue the war or to make peace with us. I think we should not therefore relax in our preparations for a vigorous campaign, as that nation is subject to sudden fluctuations, and though somewhat humiliated at present, a little success in the West Indies may dissipate their present fears, recall their natural insolence, and occasion the interruption of negotiation and a continuance of the war." Benjamin Franklin does not plan to make things easy for England. His contention that the king should give the colony of Canada to America for restitution is an outrageous demand. Canada is not Oswald's to give, nor does Franklin really expect it. Instead, the doctor's audacious request is a statement to the British that the Americans will not be content with simply gaining independence. We do not consider ourselves as under necessary bargaining for a thing that is our own, which we have bought at the expense of much blood and treasure, and which we are in possession of. Footnote. While Franklin did not gain Canada for America, he did get fishing rights for the United States, a privilege that exists to this day. End footnote. So it is that the 77-year-old Pennsylvanian, living comfortably in a Paris suburb, now holds power over the British Empire. For Dr. Benjamin Franklin, revenge is indeed sweet.